So now we're going to hear our reading, which Emily and Anita and Phoebe will read for us.
A lawyer stood up to test Jesus. He said,
"Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?"
Jesus said to him,
"What is written in the law? What do you read there?"
He answered,
"You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself."
So Jesus said to him,
"You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live."
But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus,
"And who is my neighbor?"
A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while travelling, came near to him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, "Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you for whatever more you spend." Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of robbers?
The lawyer replied,
"The one who showed him mercy."
Jesus said to him,
"Go and do likewise."
The Good Samaritan, I've been struggling with this parable all week. Not because I have no idea what to say about it, but because I have too much to say about it. The parable of the Good Samaritan is just as relevant and just as challenging as when Jesus first told it. And it comes up because somebody asks Jesus a question. You see, asking questions is a good thing. And somebody asks Jesus a question, and this leads to this wonderful story that that really shapes and changes our attitude about many things. It was somebody wanting, I think, to justify their own attitude or behavior. It was a Jewish lawyer, that is, an expert in the Jewish law, the Torah. He came to Jesus with a question about how to inherit eternal life, how to gain the life that God intends for us. So Jesus naturally asks the lawyer about the law, because it's all there in the law, he says. What does the law tell you? And the lawyer, of course, knowing his stuff, knowing the Jewish law that we find in the Old Testament, he gives a very good answer. Jesus couldn't have put it any better himself. He says, "Love God with all you've got." He says it in a different way, but that's a summary of it. "Love God with all you've got and love your neighbor as yourself." Great. So the man should have stepped away. He should have thought, "Oh, well, I've answered well." Jesus says, "I've answered well." So is that the end of the story? Well, it's not. And it's not because, you see, living God's law, living life as God intends, is actually quite hard. It challenges us. It shouldn't be easy or comfortable. It's never complete. There's always more to it. And that's because God's law is all about love. And love is always reaching out. Love is always expanding. Love is always reaching upwards towards God and reaching ever upwards and ever upwards. Or love is always reaching outwards towards other people, reaching ever outwards. Love that is alive in God, that is. Love that is dying or withering or tired or dried up, love that is not being watered by God, likes to set limits. It can't cope with reaching ever upwards towards God, and it can't cope with reaching ever outwards towards others. That just sounds too hard. So the lawyer, wanting some approval, I think, for how he lived his life and for his attitudes, asked Jesus another question. And he asked, "So who is my neighbor? If God's law says I should love my neighbor as myself, who is my neighbor?" And this is when Jesus comes up with this, his most famous, most influential, most memorable parable, the Good Samaritan. And as we saw in the story, although others passed by with their excuses, the Samaritan was the one who acted like a true neighbor, who showed love for his neighbor, who helped and cared and went the extra mile. He stopped, he helped to heal, he got him to a place of rest, and he paid for him to be properly cared for. But please understand this. We think now of a Samaritan as being someone who does good. There's a charity called the Samaritans, and they're not from Samaria, these people. But the charity is called that because we've come to call a good person, a helpful person, a kind person, a Samaritan. Someone who offers help when somebody needs it. That's what the Samaritans do, and it's a wonderful charity. But a Samaritan in those days, to the Jewish people that Jesus was talking to, a Samaritan meant the enemy. They were geographically neighbors, but there was a hatred between the two. They were closely related in terms of history and religion, but each had come to hate the other. I'm sure we can think of many examples, both in history and in our present world, where very close neighbors that should be more closely linked actually hate each other. Jesus challenges us to open up our definition of neighbor. He challenges us to love more widely, even across national boundaries, across religious boundaries, across ethnic boundaries, because all of these boundaries are man-made boundaries. All of these boundaries are artificial. And these boundaries do not exist in God's love. But even today, like the lawyer did, people try to look for loopholes in God's love. Now, what do I mean by a loophole? Do you know what I mean by a loophole? So a loophole is when you have a rule and you think, ah, yes, there's a rule and it's written down, but how can I read that rule in such a way that maybe I don't have to quite do everything it says in the rules? Maybe I can still benefit from this rule or this law, even though it's all written down in black and white. But if I can interpret it in a different way, then I can find a way of not quite doing exactly everything that it says in the law. Now, I think there are people in the world today who try to find loopholes in Christian teaching. And I want to take a recent example from the United States of America. And Vice President J.D. Vance. Now, J.D. Vance claims to be a man of Christian faith, a fairly recent convert to Roman Catholicism. And back in January, he tried to defend his government's aggressive anti-immigration policies and tried to defend them using Christian theology. He said that he followed an ancient Christian teaching called Ordo Amoris. I'm sure we all know what Ordo Amoris is. It's Latin, and it means rightly ordered love. Getting love in the right order. This teaching, Ordo Amoris, was originally from St. Augustine, encouraging us to love what should be loved and not to love what should not be loved. In other words, to love what is good and not to love those things that we shouldn't be doing. And then St. Thomas Aquinas added to this picture by saying that there would naturally be a greater affinity and affection towards those closest to us. And we should have responsibility to care for our closest family, as of course we should. But he added that in cases of great need, we should put the needy first. But J.D. Vance put a different spin on it. And he said, and these are his own words, you love your family, and then you love your neighbor, and then you love your community, and then you love your fellow citizens in your own country, and then after that, you can focus on and prioritize the rest of the world. Almost as if he's saying, if there's any love left at the end, if there's any love left when we've done all these important things, then you can focus on the rest. As if love is a finite resource. Okay, just think about that. Okay, now I'm not going to go into politics or economic policy, but as if love is a finite resource, like money. Maybe that's because in the public realm, love is often equated with welfare, which costs money. Well, money may be limited, and countries have to decide what to do with their own money. But God's love is actually infinite. And what we certainly shouldn't do is use Christian theology to justify a violently hostile approach to those we see as less important. It's worth mentioning that Pope Francis, after J.D. Vance had said these things, Pope Francis wrote to his bishops in America and said, Christian love is not a concentric expansion of interests that little by little extend to other persons and groups. The true Ordo Amoris that must be promoted is that which we discover by meditating constantly on the parable of the Good Samaritan. That is, by meditating on the love that builds a fraternity open to all without exception. Words of the late Pope Francis, who invites us. And that's why I brought up that example, because he invites us to meditate on the parable of the Good Samaritan when we want to think about what Christian love is. From Ordo Amoris, we get the popular phrase, charity begins at home. Our charity, our practical love, certainly should begin with those closest to us. That's where we learn to love, in our family groups, in our friendship groups. But Jesus shows us charity might begin at home, but it certainly shouldn't end there. In the story, Jesus tells of a Jewish priest and a Levite, both very religious people, who may have even thought about the laws of cleanliness in worship as reasons not to help the man as he lay dying on the roadside. They may have been able to quote verses which suggested maybe they shouldn't touch that man. But really what they were doing was conveniently finding loopholes to God's love, which helped their consciences as they went on their way. Jesus challenges us to open up our definition of neighbor. He challenges us to love across the boundaries we make, because these boundaries do not exist in God's love. He challenges us to a love that is ever reaching outwards and upwards. Who is our neighbor? Jesus seems to be saying, not just those who look like us, or worship like us, or live nearby, or share our language, our culture, or our faith. Who is our neighbor? What is the right order of love? The parable of the Good Samaritan is Jesus' clearest teaching on the subject. I want to follow Pope Francis's advice and meditate on it further. Are there really any limits to God's love? Let's pause for a moment, and I'm going to sing now. This is a hymn that I've written, and I wrote it 2 years ago when there were a number of things going on, especially to do with refugees. There were a number of very tragic incidents of refugees trying to reach places of safety. And there was also, at the same time, you might remember, a billionaire who was involved in a submarine disaster of his own making. And there were a lot of resources put into trying to find that billionaire. And I reflected on just how many or how few resources were put into trying to save the refugees. So we've talked about Jesus' teaching, and we've mentioned St. Augustine and St. Thomas Aquinas and Pope Francis. And now I just want to share a few words from St. Paul. St. Paul wrote 13 of the books of the New Testament. These were letters to various people and churches. Several of these letters he wrote from prison. He was in prison for preaching the good news of Jesus. Because you see, standing up for what is right can often get you into trouble if you're dealing with corrupt rulers and institutions. But in one of his letters, but that's a sermon for another time. But in one of his letters from prison to a church at a place called Colossae, Paul expressed his prayer for the people there. And I'll just read part of that prayer now. Paul said, "May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to God the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." When we are Christians, when we know God's forgiveness and try to follow Jesus, when we're looking for a way, when we're looking forward to eternal life with God, then Paul says there's a change that happens. God has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, into the kingdom of Jesus. We now don't need to think like the values of this world. We don't need to believe that we only have a limited amount of love to give. We don't need to live in fear or suspicion of others or see their difference as a problem. We can live in the light, seeing every person and every creature, in fact, as being made by God, loved by God. And even when they are mixed up or evil or doing bad things or wanting to lash out and hurt others, even then they are redeemable. God still wants to rescue them. The Samaritan in the story that Jesus gave us understood this simple truth, that the man on the road, though perhaps he'd been taught to see him as an enemy, the man on the road was also a child of God. The others who walked by tried to make their excuses not to help him, not to love him. Well, we never get it perfect. And it is difficult practically to work out sometimes how we should love people. We often try and fail. We often genuinely misunderstand what it is we're meant to do or how we should act. And often we get frustrated that we can't make more of a difference. But let's not give up just because of that. Let's not give up on humanity in all its diversity. Let's be strong with the strength that comes from God's glorious power, not our own power, not our own finite resources, but God's glorious power. Let's trust in God and give thanks to God who enables us to share in his kingdom, who does forgive us and brings us into the light. Jesus has given us permission to see the world differently. You don't have to see it as others tell you to see it. Some will still try to confine and restrict and limit God's love, and so to see others as less than worthy or even less than human. The Good Samaritan breaks all of that down. I won't always get everything right, but I believe that one day I'll stand before the Lord Jesus and be answerable for my words and my actions. On that day, I would far rather Jesus judged me for being too inclusive, too welcoming, too loving, than for not doing all I can to love my neighbor as myself. Who is my neighbor? Lord, help me to love even more, and help us together to see all that you have made through your eyes of love. Amen.